we had the hardest time thinking of a name mm-hmm. for an agency. But the way that we ended up getting it done was we were like, what would we name a cool magazine if we were starting a magazine? And then we suddenly had tons of ideas, and Arcade was one of them, and we eventually picked Arcade. Welcome back to Waves. This week we're here for another solo episode, except we're changing it up a little bit. We're going to give it an extra special treatment. So if you aren't watching on YouTube right now, if you're just listening, maybe hop over to YouTube because we're in person.
That's right. We're going to be recording in person today. We're not staring at our cameras. We get to just talk face to face.
It's just a conversation.
It's just a casual conversation with three cameras looking at us.
Sheesh.
But this is fun because normally at this time we would film Tea for Lunch. And we had another podcast episode lined up for this afternoon, which unfortunately got canceled. So we're pivoting and we're merging some of the things that we talk about for Tea for Lunch, which is our other podcast. And we're making this a Waves episode. So,
and it's kind of a hybrid with our newsletter, Scan Club.
For sure. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about a few signals this episode. And if you're like, what the heck is a signal? We've talked about it in a few episodes past, but I highly recommend you go check out our episode with Alyssa, who's our creative director, Alyssa Juhas. We talk about signals and looking ahead and being like a critical consumer of content. And signals to us is basically something that's happening that's new, surprising, or current. And it could potentially point to a different future in the world of digital marketing. So we're going to unpack some of those today.
Yeah. And for the purpose of this conversation, it's stories.
Yes.
It's news.
Like news stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's lots of fun stuff happening in the news.
I know. Should we get into it?
Yeah, we can. But did you know that next week, or today, is today Black Friday? No, tomorrow
today is
Black
Thanksgiving.
Friday. Today is Thanksgiving.
Today is Thursday.
Thursday.
So tomorrow is Black Friday.
Tomorrow is Black Friday. That means December is literally next week.
That's
I had
crazy.
The epiphany this morning because I was like, isn't it November 1st? Like, I feel like we just had Halloween.
I said that's crazy as if you surprised me with that, but I know that next week is December 1st. And mostly that's because my birthday is December 5th. And
that's
true.
You
always look forward to your birthday, you know?
Yeah, and our daughter's birthday is November 29th.
Yeah,
so
get that over with.
Get that over with.
I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. It also reminded me that December 1st, like we need to go and get more another elf for our other child. Like Elf on the Shelf starts next week.
Okay, so why do we need more than one?
Because each kid gets an elf. Like they each have an elf that's watching them at home.
Why can't one elf watch both kids?
Because that's not how it goes. You need each kid.
Who made the rules for this? I already had a bone to pick with Elf on the Shelf because you made an executive decision last year that we were doing this. And then for some reason, I was up late every night trying to set the scene for the whole month of December for this one silly elf. And now you're telling me I have to do two elves?
Yes. They can do the same scene. They just need to like interact together. And as if it's an executive decision, I am in charge of our family memories. So this is.
Family memories?
This is. My domain. You do what you're good at and I do what I'm good. No, what do you mean self-assigned?
We're going to have to talk about this later.
Anyways, Elf on the Shelf starts next week, which
I guess,
is crazy.
Yeah, so they can be in cahoots.
Yeah, they're both.
There's not two separate storylines here.
Exactly. They're watching the kids together on behalf of Santa and they're getting into mischief together because they're siblings.
Got it.
Siblings.
Are they actually siblings? Is that part of the story?
Mm, no. Okay. I just like in my head that makes sense.
All right.
So giddy up.
So we're improvising as we go here. Well, my stress level for December went from excited for birthday to stressed for Elf on the Shelf, but we'll get through it.
We'll get through it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Making memories for the kids.
Yeah.
The holidays are for the kids and for our team.
That's true. The holidays are fun. It's my favorite time of the year. So
yeah.
I'm like playing it up a little bit, but I'm looking forward to December.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
And it finally snowed again.
Finally.
So we're getting in the vibe.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought a new jacket. I was like ready for winter. I got Gore-Tex Salomons, the XT6. And then it was just warm.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to break that stuff out yet.
I know. You're like so thirsty to wear like your huge puffer.
I'm like, finally, it's minus one. It's below zero. Now
and
I can wear it.
Everyone else is like, wow, it's amazing. It's only minus one.
I know. It's weird. I don't usually look forward to winter. But
no, I'm not looking forward to it. But
maybe you need
like
some better
it.
Gear.
I guess.
you have heated seats in your car, so just get some better a better jacket or something like that. You're going to be loving it.
Yeah, I just don't like walking in the snow, so maybe I do need better shoes.
Mm, yes.
Okay. Well, good thing it's Black Friday tomorrow.
Good thing.
Shop for the stuff.
So the first story we wanted to talk about is a fun one. We've on Tea for Lunch, we've chatted a little bit more than on Waves, but about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and the whole romance they got going on. And recently, some of his old tweets resurfaced. And this is a doing of the Swifties, like yes. Taylor Swift's fan club.
Yes. I love how you explained it, how like the Swifties wanted to find an old tweet that would cancel Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think everyone's still kind of like scratching their heads at Travis and Taylor. Because like, it's just like a strange combination. It especially feels, considering who she's dated in the past.
Or who's he's dated. Who
yeah.
He has dated.
Yeah, even back to his like dating show, Catching Kelce, which is just a gag.
Taylor doesn't quite fit his previous, but it's cool.
Yeah, neither of them fit. But,
they also do fit.
People are starting to warm up to it.
Yeah.
We're starting to see them in real life and see that they're like actually into each other. It's not just a PR relationship, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But I think Taylor's kind of rabid fans wanted to know, like, is he as heartwarming as he seems to be, or is there a reason for us to cancel him? Mm-hmm. And so they dug up his old tweets, and it was funny. He's and I saw clips from his most recent podcast episode with his brother on their podcast New Heights, and they were talking about it. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, he was laughing about it because he's like, yeah, I had no followers at that time. I was literally just, it was like a diary for me. I was shouting into the void. So like spelling didn't matter. It was just like what I was feeling in the moment, which for a lot of us, I think, especially like elder millennials, that's what Twitter was then too. Mm-hmm. It was like, we had our 17 followers that were all our friends that knew what was going on in our lives. And we were just shouting into the void. It kind of reminds me actually of old Facebook statuses.
I was just going to say, like, we need to do a deep dive on your old Facebook statuses. Because I feel like yours are, like, very, like, Travis Kelce-esque. Like, very diary type.
Yeah, probably. And I was just, like, I don't know. I was young and trying to be cheeky. And it just, like, is cringy at this point.
But. Okay, I might need to do a deep dive for our next episode.
What if you find a reason to cancel me?
We're in too far. You're the father of my children.
I locked you in.
Yeah.
In it for the long haul, for sure.
We'd have to figure that out. Or it's actually good that we do this so that we just bury it.
But yeah, get it out of the way.
I feel like if we looked up your old Facebook posts, like, it would be heartwarming.
Yeah, I was sheltered. I didn't say anything that polarizing. I think the thing that I'm really scared of people finding is my MySpace because I haven't been able to get into my old email address to delete it.
I think it's not hard to find.
Yeah.
I think Drew knows where it is and how to get it. He probably has a password, to be honest.
Let's not fact check that. He's okay. Probably holding that email address hostage just for the future. Yeah. But anyways, so they resurfaced his old tweets and it was pretty funny. And one of them specifically, he talks about how he's going from class to therapy and he needs to get some Chipotle. And he spells Chipotle in his tweet, and people thought that was hilarious. So you had a bunch of Swifties retweeting it. So then Chipotle, they were on their social listening game, and they decided to change the sign of their Kansas City location to Chipotle. Mm-hmm. And they also changed their social handle, and it was a thing.
Yeah, I think this is such a good campaign. I love that they did this, and like they reacted quickly to like what's happening in the moment and how people are talking about their brand. And it's like, it's so smart. I think it's so fun and funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And I think everyone can just laugh about it.
Yeah, and Chipotle doesn't take themselves too seriously where they like can't have a sign of their brand that's misspelled.
Yeah, and I think it's funny to think about all the people that aren't tuned into what's happening with Travis and Taylor that would be like driving by or showing up to get their burrito bowl or whatever it might be with extra guac and seeing that the sign was spelt wrong and just being like, what is going on?
I know. I wonder if people would even notice because it's a common misspelling.
Maybe you have people texting their friends being like, I told you it was spelt this way.
Yeah, it's kind of spelt phonetically now.
Chipotle.
Chipotle. Chipotle.
Yeah, it flows a little better, to be honest. Chipotle. All right. What's the next thing?
Okay, let's talk about print. So Nylon is bringing back their print publication. They'll be relaunching their physical magazine for the first time since 2017, sometime next year. And they say that the new inaugural issue will be a mix of everything readers loved about the old Nylon, along with some new and exciting updates. The relaunch will coincide with their 25th anniversary, and partially because it also coincides with Coachella's 25th anniversary, the relaunch will start with their annual music issue. So we can expect to see Nylon back on the stands around April with a huge campaign throughout Coachella. And they tease their new issue, and they'll have original reported stories, fashion, and some of your favorite global artists with an emphasis on new and emerging culture. And this is really cool because the same week, Karlie Kloss and her investment company announced that they're buying ID Magazine from Vice Media. And then a few years ago, back in 2020, she also bought W Magazine from Condé Nast. So it's really cool to see that maybe there's a resurgence of print coming. That's something to watch as a print lover. It's pretty exciting to see some of these magazines start printing again. So we'll see. And I also think it's really cool that Karlie Kloss, who used to model in the pages of some of these magazines, is now the CEO.
Yeah. It's a good story.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that character arc.
It is a good character arc.
Yeah. And I think people like us can have that kind of character arc. If you want what you want.
In what way?
If you want what you want, you know, the things that you enjoyed when you were younger, participated in
just
a certain way.
Them.
Just like do some boss moves and get your fingers in it.
Just
you know?
Marry Donald Trump's son and buy him.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So no one can do that unless you marry rich.
No, I mean, no, not saying that, but that is her part of the story.
Right. Okay. You know? Yeah, I think I like this. I think it's that piece is more interesting to me than Nylon. But it all kind of weaves together into a bigger story. But I think we kind of see, even from the conversation we've been having at Arcade through Scan Club, we've been seeing that Gen Z especially is kind of driving this movement back to more like tactile things and more nostalgic things that are less like digital and like on screen,
right?
Which I'm all for. And I think as even you were talking about this, I was thinking about things that I miss from before the pandemic. Because I think print is something that goes back even further than that. But with Nylon, it was since 2017, which wasn't that long before the pandemic. And there's other things that we used to do that came more naturally that I think we're going to start to yearn for as like there's no quarantine. We're able to like be together, but we're still kind of like relearning some of these things that brought us joy before. And I feel like meeting new people is hard, you know?
It's so hard.
And having just like an authentic experience with people that you're not close with doesn't come naturally these days.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we unlearned a lot of that while we were just by ourselves on our couch.
Right.
So I think this is really exciting to me to think about. One, I've always loved magazines. And I would love to just like, in addition to the coffee table books we have, like have a couple of magazines that we love that we can flip through and have that visceral experience again. But I think there's other things that we're going to start to see bubble back to the surface because of just this like feeling we have inside of like getting back to how things used to be.
Yeah. Like what are some of the things that you miss pre-pandemic?
I miss part of what I said is like the opportunity to have a fun, authentic experience with people that you're not even that close to. Obviously with like good friends around, but just being in context where like, I don't know this person, but they're in the same room as me and there's something interesting about them and we're here tonight, let's have fun, you know? Or I love what we've seen before. I think we talked about this recently, about how Netflix is taking things from just streaming into like real life experiences. Mm-hmm. And even while you're talking, I was thinking about, man, like I would love for roller rinks to make a comeback.
Roller rinks? I have never in my life seen you skate.
But roller rinks, like rollerblades, not like ice skates, like roller rinks where you're like, there's a DJ and there's the lights and, you know, like where it was like the classic birthday
like
the party when we were
from
young.
The 60s?
Not the 60s, like the early 2000s even.
I don't think I've ever been to a roller rink.
Are you serious? Yeah. You grew up in Edmonton?
That has nothing to do with it. I literally can't even think of a roller rink gone to. I've seen them on shows and TVs and stuff, but like I've all the like wholesome, good old-fashioned family fun. Like, I wouldn't think of a roller rink.
I think it's in my mind because it was in a show that we were watching recently. I think it was Swagger. So it's, like, fresh in my memory. But I did go to roller rinks for, like, people's birthdays and stuff like that.
I went to bowling alleys.
Bowling is sick too. Like, that's another thing that, like, we don't do that much of anymore. It's still out there. Like, yeah. You can still go have a bowling experience, but like, you need like 6 people for a lane, and then like you want to maybe have a couple lanes. So now we're talking outside of our like close friend circle, and we're getting into like a bigger group thing. And that's kind of back to what I'm talking about of like, what happened to those like group experiences where you didn't have to be tight with everybody, but you knew you could have a good time.
Right.
And we've all been so polarized for the last few years too, whether it's politics or like conflict, everyone is like in opposite camps about everything. So like, what does it take for us to like, just like have a good group collective experience again in like a tactile environment?
We should do that as a team activity, like go bowling.
Roller rink, I'm telling you.
Roller rink? Yeah. I am just so shook
bowling
by the
roller
rink.
Bowling is tight too, but yeah, everyone's hyped up on tennis and pickleball, but those are like 2-4-person sports. Like, let's do something that like the whole squad can roll up for.
What about, have you seen those, well, like Top Golf, like where they have the golf?
That's the same idea. Yeah, that's, yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Okay, roller rink.
What other like nostalgic experiences do you miss from before?
I truly don't know. Like, what was
you just adapted to this current reality?
I can't even think. I can think of like the 2000s, but
what about like when you lived in Vancouver before, even you started Waves and you like had a job and you worked in print?
Right, I did work in print. That was
think
my
back
first
to that era.
Job.
Like, what kind of stuff were you doing at that time that like you don't do today? That would be.
I mean, networking fun. Events, but like I don't like miss them because some of them weren't good. But, like, you're right, like, getting together with people and, like, meeting people that you kind of, like, know in your peripheral but don't really know that well.
Yeah, because I feel like you, out of everyone I knew in that time of life, you didn't necessarily make plans, but plans would happen.
Yeah,
and
I was
you
out just every
like,
night.
You'd be like, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? Okay, I'm there, you know?
Like, oh, this person invited me to this thing.
That doesn't happen anymore. And it's not just because we're married. Like, that's just, like, kind of the reality that we're in.
Yeah, like, there's not as much happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there's not an event every night that you can
there's
go
less
to.
Of just like people, there's less just like organic collisions of different kinds of people into a place to like just have a good time.
Yeah,
in
it's
the
hard
moment.
To know though, like, is that not happening or am I just like old? Because like,
Harrison, is that still happening? No, it's not happening.
Okay. Okay, yeah. But even like, do you remember like restaurants? Did you ever go to like a piano bar?
You know what? I haven't and I would love to.
Yeah?
That's something I've always thought would be so awesome.
I love piano bars.
Like, and go sip a cocktail with some friends in like a dark like basement kind of venue with like a spotlight in the center of the room and a piano and this guy that's like, or this girl that was just legit at playing piano and it's beautiful and it's relaxing but you're not tired. Like, that just
yeah,
sounds
and then
like
as it gets later on the day, it like turns into karaoke and like everyone's singing.
No, no, no.
Yeah. No, I mean not like karaoke in the sense of like the mics being passed around, but like everyone's singing along to the songs. Mm. It's like Sweet Caroline.
Yeah,
and, like
totally.
All the like old, like the fun.
I feel
like
that's happened
songs.
At our holiday parties before where like
it better happen this year.
Like the goofy Santa shows up to sing some songs and then we're all just singing.
Yeah. Okay. Like piano bars, I miss that kind of thing. Or did you ever go out to like a pub to like, I know like watching games still happens, but to watch something else that's not a game?
At a pub.
Yeah. Like I remember going to watch the election.
At a pub?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have pictured that, but
yeah.
I could see that in like DC.
Yeah.
But.
Or like the last episode of a show or
nice.
Award show. Could you imagine a pub where you can go and watch award shows?
Maybe like that's kind of like the vibe for Netflix is in real life things.
Yeah, I would love that. Actually, I actually went to a movie theater once to watch the Oscars.
That's cool.
And people like dressed up for it and stuff. That was
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, and there's like a red carpet.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So I guess just like pulling people together to watch stuff.
And those tactile things like print, like we started this conversation around a magazine. Like even when we started Arcade, we had the hardest time thinking of a name for an agency. But the way that we ended up getting it done was we were like, what would we name a cool magazine if we were starting a magazine? And then we suddenly had tons of ideas and Arcade was one of them and we eventually picked Arcade. And then even when we started, we were like, what if we do a magazine at some point?
I know. We've talked about doing a magazine for so long. It's just like so much work. So I get why magazines don't exist anymore because it's like so much work and it's like really hard. Like the revenue model is just like really tough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because at my first job when I worked there, they were a magazine that had been publishing for 20 plus years and their clients, like their ad clients were like the Rolexes and like the Tiffany's and the Chanel's and things like that. And their like spreads were like $20,000. And I'd always be like, why would someone get – not why, but like it just didn't compute to me when, like, you could see on digital, like, the direct result of your ad, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like that's the kind of magazine that we don't need. Like, no dig to your past employer, but I just feel like there's a kind of magazine that existed before print started to dwindle, where it was just like advertisement placements and spreads, and it really wasn't like true editorial or like journalism.
But the one thing I did like about that era is that ads actually were editorial. Like ads, like there could be some really beautiful ads that would compete with editorial spreads. But I feel like now ads are truly just interruptions.
When you worked there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because when you say that, I think of like, that's when I'm thinking back to the 60s and 70s. Like ads were art. But like in the like 2010s, like were like, ads really art, you know?
I mean, some, like some of these big brands for sure, like they work with like top models. Like they'll have like Kendall Jenner in like a spread for Tiffany's alongside her spread for Vogue, you know, like they do have that quality.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Well, it'll be interesting to see what the new magazine looks like. And maybe we need to throw our hat in the ring, start a print mag.
That sounds like so much work, but.
But so fun. Like we're talking about trend reports and stuff like that. Like, why not make a magazine?
Okay, last story that we're watching. Kendrick Lamar's limited edition anti-smartphone sells out in one day. The anti-smartphone, also known as a dumb phone, was a collaboration between Kendrick Lamar, Dave Freeze Company, and the tech company Light. The device is called the PG Lang Light Phone 2 and is super minimal with no web browsers. Users can call, text, set an alarm. There's also add-on tools like a music player, notes, calculator, directions, and a magic 8-ball, random, but okay. And the device sold out in just minutes after its release, keeping in mind only about 250 devices were released. Some have speculated that if the device only sold out quickly because of its ties to Kendrick Lamar. However, HMD Global, the maker of the Nokia phones, reported that tens of thousands of their flip and slide phones were also sold every month last year. So people are wondering if there's going to be a resurgence of these dumb phones or anti-smartphones because people are getting tired of a crazy amount of screen time and phone users are looking for a way to take back control of their digital lives.
Digital lives.
What do you think? Like, would you ever get a dumb phone?
Is dumb phone, like, kind of ableist? I'm just asking that because we did DEI training, so it's in my head. But okay, I like anti-smartphone. That's
I was just going to say I love saying dumb phone, but I'm scared. So let's say anti-smartphone.
Dumb phone gives me, like, Mean Girls vibes. Like, get in, loser, we're going shopping. Like, that kind of energy.
I know, if you
say
it that way, it
definitely feels kind of fun. But yeah. Yeah, anyways.
Okay, anti-smartphone.
Yeah, anti-smartphone. I think I would probably
anti.
Hey, auntie. Auntie smartphone.
My auntie's smartphone?
Some people say auntie, don't they?
I say auntie. What's the other way to say it?
I think Taylor says auntie.
Like, yeah, auntie hero.
Yeah. So nice. Why are you making fun of me?
My auntie.
Auntie smartphone.
What's the other way to say it?
Anti.
Anti, right.
I only know the Taylor song because that's Elena's favorite song right now when we do bedtime.
Auntie hero? Anti hero?
But yeah, I think I would consider it. It's hard because I feel like it would almost be a matter of actually ending up with two phones. Because I think where I like the idea of a phone like this, where you don't have a web browser, you don't have all the extra apps and the notifications, like that sounds perfect for during the workday. Because I feel like when I'm on my computer and like trying to do the work and my phone's just popping off all day, that's really distracting to me. And it can pull me out of like deep work and stuff like that. But I do like on my smartphone, like after hours, like in the evening when we're winding down from the day and stuff like that, to be able to like consume content and play games or like do fantasy football or whatever it might be, even watch something or listen to something. So I don't know. I don't think anti-smartphone would like serve me 24/7, but I like the idea of it for certain contexts. What about you?
I mean, I do it. I see it for sure. I like the idea of having it if I'm going to like go out and run errands or something. I agree at work sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm just going to like go get a lunch. And then I like bring my phone and then I get like I start just looking at something, I get all these notifications and I'm still working. And it's like, why? I could do that on my computer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't see it being that groundbreaking for me. I could see myself getting this and leaving it at home and just bringing my phone.
I think it would be really helpful for kids. Like, oh, kids, yeah, that want phones. Mm-hmm. And even for parents that want the kids to have a phone so they can contact them, but not no. have all the, like, yes. TikToks and, like, stuff like that.
Maybe we should get this.
Yeah, I actually – maybe it'll catch on. Maybe it'll catch on for, like, Gen Alpha and younger so that they actually yeah. want that kind of phone instead of having to, like, force the issue while all of their friends are still on TikTok.
Right, because they can call, text, set an alarm, and they also have – a music player, notes, and calculator, directions, and a magic 8-ball. What more could you want?
Yeah.
The magic 8-ball is weird.
I was going to say when you were talking about it before, it's so funny because I remember when phones were starting to move away from just like the flip phone and T9 and you started to get into like Blackberries and stuff like that and they had the one random game all the time. Like Brick Breaker, you know? Like that was so lit to have that on your phone, especially if you had it during high school and you were like, you had your phone in class and you were bored, you could just like whip out Brick Breaker and just like
that was never
get a new
me.
High score.
I was never playing that random game. But
you're too busy texting your friends.
Yeah, but spilling the tea. It actually reminds me of like when you first got your
stuff.
Your Apple
what is this
going to
be?
And I would catch you playing solitaire on your Apple Watch.
That literally happened one time because solitaire is so hard on your watch.
Tiniest screen. And like you're just trying to
I was
get
literally
the
trying
to
figure it out. Like how do I use this like one
No, I feel like I
thing.
Caught you playing it.
One time.
And you know, I don't want to roast you too hard about that because I actually love solitaire too.
Yeah, you play it when we fly.
Yeah, it's a good like it takes my mind off of things.
Yeah, I'm playing poker. Gambling our life away while you're playing solitaire.
Yeah, it's like the one app that I'm like, in airplane mode, I like still want to have access to this.
Nice.
But
what about Candy Crush? Do you ever get into that?
Mm-mm.
No.
Or the farm one. What was it?
Like Farmville?
I don't know.
That was like a computer game.
Oh, okay. Did you ever play games on Facebook? Because there was an era where they had
games.
Was
Farmville a Facebook game? Yeah, Farmville was one of them.
Mm. I
that
never
one
played
was crazy.
Sims. Shut up. You played it?
Yeah, everyone played Farmville.
Everyone, no way.
Yeah, like during the university days, I think it was. Or maybe it was early, like post-university for me. But I remember some people, I wasn't as intense as some people, but some people would like literally set their alarm to get up at 3 a.m. for when their like crops were ready for harvest so that they like could keep rolling in the dough, you know? Like that was a crazy period.
Hey, I wish there was something else we could funnel the energy towards.
Funnel what energy?
Like getting up at 3 a.m. to like do your virtual crops.
Well, we don't get up at 3 a.m.
I know. But like, I don't know. It's so crazy that a game can like inspire people to do that.
Yeah. It's
But I guess you play games all the time because of fantasy sports.
Yeah, but I don't do it at 3 a.m.
You did. I feel like I did catch you one time. You were like, so the wire waiver like deadline was at like 2 a.m. or something. You had to get up to like
no, I
complete
didn't.
The trade.
No, I don't do that. But I, if I like randomly am awake for some reason, like if Timo wakes up or
yeah,
or
our kids
wakes
are
up,
crying
like,
in the middle of the night.
Then on that one night of the week when waivers hit, then yeah, I was looking at it. Okay. But it's the same as a solitaire thing. Like I literally tried it on my watch one time and you're like, you used to always play solitaire on your watch. It's the same thing with that. It was like literally
it was
a one-off.
It was just so shocking. Like it's the middle of the night and I'm going to like deal with our crying kids. And
you
then
are,
I look at
hey,
you.
Me too. Don't act like it's just you.
Well, that was fun. We do have another listener question that we want to get to. And this question is how
kind
do
of a fun one.
Yeah, I think so. How do you get through a really busy season like Q4 with your team, both as business owners and marketers yourself?
My first reaction to that is like, what do you mean get through? Like Q4 is the most wonderful time to be alive.
Absolutely.
Most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
We got the holidays. It's like busy, but busy is a blessing.
Yeah.
Pressure is a privilege.
Busy is a blessing. Pressure is a privilege.
Preach somebody.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's a great time of year. I mean, obviously there's a lot of work to do, but over time, you know, if you're finding that you're like hemorrhaging because there's too much going on or there's like tons of last minute requests or you just can't keep up, like maybe set some boundaries.
Yeah, this is the best, like this is the best kind of busy you can have personally
yeah.
because like at least for me, my mind is thinking about like all these campaigns that we've worked so hard on for you know, a long time. Like Q4 is like the biggest time of like your work coming to life. And then also like, at least for me and like home, it's like prime time to like make yep. those memories and go shopping and decorate and like throw parties. Like that's the best kind of busy you can be.
Do you think this question is in context to work mostly?
Probably.
Yeah. So to be fair, I do remember a time when Q4 was really stressful. When we had a smaller team, it was like you and me in the trenches doing a lot of the work. Mm-hmm. So I can empathize that there's some people that are maybe like solopreneurs, or they're like the one person in their marketing department at the company they work at.
And or there's pressure.
They're like just starting to build a business and scale a team, and they're still like doing a lot of the heavy lifting themselves. I get it. But I would just like change your perspective to believe and understand that it's like periods like this in your business that like fund your future growth. So mm-hmm. if you're like busy, you got a lot going on, deadline after deadline, you're burning the candle at both ends, like make sure that you've set it up properly so that the outcome is worth it.
For sure.
Because that can fund your growth for next year.
And I'm sure there's some people who feel like they're busy doing the wrong thing. Because I think sometimes when there's a lot on you and pressure on you and you feel like you can't see light in the tunnel, it's like really good to evaluate like the actual work. Is this stuff that you like to do? Is this stuff that you're good at? Because sometimes people are busy doing something that might seem simple for someone, but they're not good at it and it's really hard. So it's good to like kind of evaluate it too, because there could be signs in there that maybe like you're doing something or spending too much energy on something that like maybe you shouldn't be doing. And that could be like, you know, something you think about as you head into the new year, like, do you want to do that again next year? And what would you change differently? And maybe it means you need to bring someone to help you, or you should be doing another piece of it or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a good time to like take stock of all that.
Yeah, 100%. I think that makes sense. And the other thing I would say is, as you do it more than 1 year, like as you start to do it mm-hmm. year over year and assess and evolve and learn, also take the step back to like recognize patterns. Because mm-hmm. like, we used to just feel like it was like that until the end of the year, and then it was like back into it again at the end of the year. Like there wasn't really a break. And then we started to recognize that like, hey, that 1 week period between Christmas and New Year's, like no one's actually asking for anything. Why am I here working?
Right.
And so like, why not ride that and take the opportunity to rest and recover? Mm-hmm. We also over time started to recognize that in the summer, like mm-hmm. not the whole summer, but we started to over time realize more and more that the people that we were working with at the client side, many of the decision makers especially, weren't even really around the office the last 2 weeks of August.
Right.
So then why are we, you know, like yeah. not that the whole office should shut down, but like you can recognize those patterns and then start to book your time for yourself to like recharge your batteries and like get inspired and take space with your family mm-hmm. when the demands are lower, so that you have the energy and the capacity and the excitement even to mm-hmm. like show up and glow up when like everything's popping off.
For sure. Yeah. So like, at least for us, we do a shop shutdown with our team. And it's those awkward days between like Christmas and New Year's where nothing's really happening. So we tell our team like, don't work if you don't need to.
Yeah. We treat them as flex days. They don't count as vacation days for people. So they don't come out of that allowance, but we also do need to still be alert in case like something hits that needs to get addressed.
Yeah.
So for the most part, like everyone's pretty much doing nothing. But then we're still available if needed. So from a functional standpoint, mm-hmm. our clients aren't like needing to do things without us.
Yeah. So find a way to like give yourself some time back in your schedule with having a break, either taking time off like during those days or whatever. And I think also like look for ways to like treat yourself here and there. Like pick out some milestones. Like maybe every Friday you get a holiday drink or something.
Yeah.
Like just if it's going to be the craziest and busiest time of the year, just like make sure that you feel like you're getting a bit of like a reward for some of the work that you're doing.
Yeah, we're simple creatures.
Yeah.
Rewards go a long way.
Yeah, and go to bed early. Like no reason to stay up late. It's dark out.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. Make sure you're eating, you know, healthy and drinking water. And just like the bare necessities, if those are covered, like you'll be okay.
Yeah. And then the thing that helps in the context of our team too is like we have a great holiday party every year.
Oh, yeah.
That we can look forward to. And we do a secret Santa and like, I don't know. It's just like, it's not all just busy work, mm-hmm. you know?
And the holidays are only as good as you make it. So even if you don't like celebrate the holidays or Christmas or anything, like still look for ways to like participate in small ways just for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I know a lot of time, like, the pressure of getting all the things for everyone else can really, like, eat away at people. But I think it's also a good time to, like, treat yourself and, like, just, yeah, give yourself a little bit of love.
Yeah. And then maybe, like, do it for someone else you see working hard, you know? Like, I think a lot goes a little bit goes a long way. So for if you see another entrepreneur or business leader or someone in your industry, even a peer that is just, like, really going all out this year to get the job done, and you can tell they're getting a little tired or starting to spin their tires, just, like, treat them a little bit.
We should do that. You and I should
acknowledge
it.
Yeah. I think even, like, just saying out loud that you see how hard someone's working goes a long way, too.
Well, that was fun. Thanks for joining me on this little impromptu waves episode.
Yeah, this was a treat. If you're listening or watching, let us know what you think about this format.
For sure.
We're always up to change it up.
Thanks for being here with us.